Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. On today's Pardon My Take, we have our very good friend, Mark Titus. An awesome interview. One of those ones where we didn't write any questions down. We just shot the shit with our good friend for almost close to an hour. We're going to talk some NBA. We're going to talk some Amazon. We're going to talk some Firefest. We have a great show for you, sending you off on the holiday weekend. Hope everyone has a great holiday weekend. Before we do that, a quick word from our friends. Whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started. Today is Friday, May 28th, and it is the 5-year anniversary of when we lost our sweet prince. I can't even get the sentence out without laughing because it's so fucking ridiculous that we're still thinking about Harambe.
R.I.P. Harambe. One of the seminal moments of Pardon My Take, I would say getting sued by ESPN right off the bat. Adam Morrison's bunker, and then the summer of Harambe. Without that fucking gorilla getting shot, I don't know if I'd be sitting next to you right now, Big Cat.
Unbelievable. It really is.
On this day in sports history.
Yeah,
it's like the ultimate blooper. A fan got too close to the playing field in Cincinnati.
We need to do like a... We need to do like every big time anniversary. We got to all come together and have a beer for our sweet prince. It's so stupid. It's so stupid. And I think we actually are getting close to having it be funny again.
The resurgence.
Because it was very funny for that summer. Then it was like very lame. But now enough time has passed where if you just drop a Harambe, it's like, oh, that's actually kind of funny.
Yeah. The ironic resurgence of Harambe is due.
Yeah.
And we really never let it go.
No. No, our sweet prince. So that was that. That's the lead. All right, so we stayed up.
We put his face on tie-dye T-shirts.
Hank sold
millions of dollars worth of T-shirts.
So many T-shirts. And they all, I hope everyone who still has one can look back and be like, wow, that was stupid. And if I had to explain it to anyone, like there are some things you can explain to people culturally. This is one of those ones that if you met someone in 15 years from now and they're like, hey, what the fuck is that gorilla on your tie-dye shirt? You're like, don't worry about it.
Oh, and it was Twitter gold, too.
Yeah.
Like, all you had to do was mention Harambe in a tweet. Instant clout right there. Like, looking back on it, it's like six levels of irony that you have to get through. I saw somebody tweet about it, a very touching memorial, saying, I remember a month after Harambe was killed, I went to a Blink-182 show, and the crowd spontaneously would erupt into Harambe chants between every song. It's like, yeah, that's about as 2016 as you can get.
Yeah, and again, it's going to be like there will be people who are like, oh, they made a Harambe joke. They're so fucking lame. Nah, it was one of those fun things that we just all enjoyed, and it's okay to look back and be like, that was funny.
Big Cat, take your dick out for Harambe.
Oh, yeah, dicks out for Harambe. Exactly. All right, so we stayed up.
I just did it.
We stayed up. We stayed up again. This time, it did not pay off. So on Tuesday, we stayed up. We watched a great Suns-Lakers game. Tonight, we stayed up. And I am going to say right now, I officially feel bad for Phoenix Suns fans because we know a couple of them. They were sitting with us watching the game.
They do exist.
They were, like, of course, the first time in a decade that we've had a fun team. And then we have to play the Los Angeles Lakers. And the Los Angeles Lakers have, of course, as always, LeBron turns it on in the playoffs and knows that the regular season does not matter. And we are here, and barring a ridiculous comeback, which we did not stay up for.
Nope. Well, let's say this. It's 12:05 a.m. right now.
Yes. So
we did stay through the night.
We stayed up. But if the Suns come back, this is one of those moments where it'd actually be funny, the start of the show.
I was thinking about this watching this game because both teams have basketballs in their logos. Like, the Suns are like, what should we make our logo? Oh, let's just put a basketball with heat waves around it. The Lakers also have a basketball as their logo.
The Heat also played tonight.
I think
I can't say that the Heat
played
tonight.
No, they didn't play. They were on television.
They participated in a game.
Yes, they were there. I think that basketball, out of all the sports, features the main piece of playing equipment more than any other sport. Like, there are a lot of teams. I think the Bucks might have a basketball in one of their logos.
Helmets in football. Definitely a lot of helmets.
You mean like the, on the helmets?
Yeah.
There are other helmets?
Aren't there?
I don't think so. I think I know that the Browns logo is just a Cleveland helmet. Browns helmet.
Yeah. Maybe, yeah. All right, this is too late in the night for me to go through all the helmets. I'm trying to think. I'm racking my brain.
Other helmet teams. Do the Raiders have one? Or is it just the shield?
Yeah, I guess. I guess I'm just thinking of them actually wearing helmets.
Yeah, they do while they're on the field.
Yeah. So, the Lakers, actually, now it's an 8-point game. So now we're going to look even dumber. But I'm going to say it. The Lakers are up 2-1. They're going to win this series. The Suns, I feel bad for them. I don't know how the Lakers don't come out of the West. Hopefully this is an old take or cold takes exposed moment. What is a cold takes exposed moment, though, was, boy, was I wrong about the Bucks Heat series. I want to apologize officially. This is me being a bigger man, not a fat joke. I was very wrong. The Bucks are so much better than the Heat. The Heat do not know how to shoot a basketball. Like, they just don't. They miss so many shots around the rim, and the Bucks are just way, way better. So my apologies to Milwaukee Bucks and Bucks fans. I was wrong. Yeah. I fucked up.
Listen,
I fucked up.
I've long said that Jimmy Butler is not a top 15
That's
player
true.
In the NBA.
That is true.
He doesn't look at all like he did last year. I don't know what the difference is. He loved the bubble. I think,
shot is flat.
I think the Heat, for some reason, they enjoyed being uncomfortable in that bubble. What was it, Jimmy Butler being like, no disrespect to families? I think there's too many families around. The players on the Heat are seeing their families too much.
Right.
At this point. Jimmy Butler, I wouldn't put it past him to be like, fuck this, we're making our own bubble. You're not allowed to see anybody that's not on the team. I'm going to sell $20 cups of coffee to everybody still. Like, let's just stick with what worked last time.
Yeah, you gotta, they need the bubble back.
You got to change something up if you're the Heat, because they – I'm going to use the F word. They looked feckless.
Feckless. Ooh, feckless. The feckless Heat. Yeah, that should be a sweep. They should just sweep them and put them out of their misery. Dead man walking on that one. All right, let's talk some more NBA, some other games that happened. The Mecca is officially back. The Mecca is officially back.
Oh, it was rocking. I'd say I'll one-up you, Big Cat. New York City is back.
Oh, okay. So the only complaint I had, it was a great game. It just, look, I know that we joke about like people calling it the Mecca, but I absolutely will agree with the fact that when Madison Square Garden is rocking, it is up there at the top of the list of like arena settings. You know, experiences. You could just feel it. Like, I watched the whole game. Shout out MSG not letting the crowd noise. I heard TNT didn't have, like, crowd noise.
Well, it's very difficult to censor, like, 30,000 people screaming, fuck you, Trae Young.
Right.
All at the same time. But I'm also rooting for the Garden this playoff. I don't think I have really a team in the East, besides, obviously, the Nets. But I am rooting for the Garden.
And the Wizards.
I've been very clear about the Wizards that, like, yeah, I'll pretend to be on the Wizards bandwagon. But I have literally put them out of my brain, and my life has been better off for it since about 2006. So I'm not able – that's a take that I'm not even able to backtrack on. I won't allow myself to do that. But I'm rooting for the Garden. I don't really care about the Knicks that much, but I love seeing the Garden rocking like that. In the words of America's new poet laureate, LeBron James, it was some loud ass hell.
It was loud ass hell.
I like saying like it was some loud ass hell. Yeah. I actually think that loud ass hell is a great saying that we should totally embrace and run with.
Loud ass hell. And he had to update it because he was like, actually, I meant to not bleep out ass because I didn't mean to use the word ass.
But then he bleeped out a letter that came before the word as. So
yes, right. No, I think, yeah, right. Exactly.
He screwed up the censoring of
it
his
was
censorship.
Dot dot H E and then double hockey sticks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a family site.
It's probably been, I'd say, maybe 20 years since I've seen H E double hockey sticks used in the wild like that.
That's like a real,
impressive.
That's a real like fourth grade teacher move.
Yes.
He'd be like, what the H E double hockey sticks is going on around here?
Yeah, LeBron saw three bottles of wine and he went for the one in the middle and like, chugged out of that and then got online.
I'm just going to remind people, LeBron showed us his dick. That happened.
Yeah.
Okay? So H-E double hockey sticks I can deal with. We saw your dick. All right. So the Garden's back. I really, really – we talked about this on Wednesday, but it needs to be re-stressed. What Nike has done with jerseys is an abomination. Whatever the Knicks were wearing was so fucking bad. It was like – It looked like if they made a movie set in the future and like New York City set in like 90, this is what the Knicks are wearing. That's mm-hmm. like it made no sense. Why wouldn't you wear your classic home whites when the Mecca's trying to be back?
Or the blue. The blue or the white would have made that game so much better.
So much better.
And I guess I was going to use this as a fire fest, but I think I should discuss it right now because we were talking about the jerseys and the colorblind issue in America on, what was that, Wednesday's show?
Mm-hmm.
I feel bad because there's somebody on this show that reached out to me that told me that he was colorblind and had never brought it up, and he didn't feel safe on Wednesday in that space,
Bubba?
Letting us know.
Bubba, you're Bubba colorblind?
Is colorblind, which
that actually makes perfect sense.
Explains like he can't tell red and green lights when he's crossing the road together.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Or
too soon, bro. Too soon.
It makes perfect sense.
But Bubba, why didn't you feel safe telling us?
I don't know.
That?
I do hate when one of the teams doesn't wear white. It's just really annoying on the screen.
Yes.
Like, it drives me nuts.
I agree. I think it's
any
terrible.
Sport, like, it's one team should wear white.
Right, and it's the inverse of, you know, whenever, like, UCLA and USC play football, and you're like, this is an all-time uniform matchup. It feels mm-hmm. great. And they don't have to have white, because those are two distinct colors.
So,
reverse, just terrible uniform matchups.
You don't even know about the great uniform matchup of USC and UCLA.
Yeah, how colorblind are you?
What color is this?
How are you a sneakerhead if you don't even know what color shoes you're wearing?
Wear a black t-shirt every day.
He does.
How colorblind
really
are
every
you?
Day.
No, but how color? Because, you
That's
know, some
like
people.
That's like a behind-the-scenes guy move, though.
Like, yeah, if we did. It, all right, here's how I'll ask this.
I don't know.
What color is this?
I don't know.
Bubba, here's how I'll phrase this.
I think I heard this once, but
I think so,
it.
Too. If, Bubba, if we did a video where we put on those glasses.
Oh yeah,
that
let's
made
go viral.
You see,
yeah.
How viral would we go?
I don't know.
Would you cry?
Oh, I'll fake cry. To go
yeah,
viral.
Would you cry?
Yeah,
like would you? That. Have you seen color before?
No. Well, yeah, but I don't know.
So
I don't know.
You're like,
I don't know how to explain it.
You're statistically the least racist person on this podcast.
I was gonna say we should have been using this as true. A trump card all the time when everyone's like, "Oh, you guys are racist." Like, no, dude, our producer does not see
literally.
Color.
Yeah.
Fact.
Wow. Yeah. Wait, Bubba, here's what we do. We get
How do you know when the mountains are blue?
Yeah,
hey, come on. I was going to say, that's what we say for the video.
We put the
glasses on him.
Yes.
And then we show him a Coors Light can for the first time,
Perfect.
An ice cold one.
Yeah.
And then he started weeping.
Cry.
Yeah,
I'll
you
cry.
Would cry on that. Yeah. The mountains being that blue, you'd cry.
I felt bad. Like, I'll put it in a verbal meme.
Oh, I don't feel bad.
No, I'll put it in a verbal meme.
No.
Actually explains a lot.
Yeah, it explains so much. It makes so much sense. I don't feel bad whatsoever.
It's Bubba as Squidward peering out the window, and it's me and Big Cat
just a rainbow.
Down below having a great time doing the Rubik's Cube episode.
Yeah, or just no, having a great time complaining about jerseys.
Yeah.
Like, look at how much fun they have saying how bad the jerseys are.
So when you saw the Rubik's Cube, does that make any sense at all to you?
No.
Yeah.
Kind
of. Kind of.
How?
I don't know. I don't know how to explain it.
What color?
I have no
what
idea.
Color is this logo That's on
red.
My shirt? Oh, so how colorblind are you?
I don't know.
Bubba, what color is this?
This is why I didn't want to do it because I knew that this would turn into a thing where Big Cat just like
I'm just gonna think you're
picks
blind
up random
blind
shit
now, yeah.
and it's like what color is this? Like,
I'm gonna throw you like
it's
a,
the most like Big Cat thing ever.
Yeah, the most like I'm gonna go to like a steel mill and get some glowing hot rods of steel and throw them to you. Like what? Oh, you didn't realize they were hot, dude?
Wow.
How did you not see that?
I was thinking about this last night as well because I know it's been an ongoing conversation. And I didn't do research to find out if this is how they did do it, but the home team should just wear white.
Yes. Yes.
That's it.
Yes.
And then the away team wears color. They can maybe switch it between a couple different colors. But the home team should always wear white.
It was terrible. But
anyway. When the away team wears white, that drives me crazy.
Yeah. The Knicks played really well. It was great to see Derrick Rose. Like, he saved them. He absolutely saved them. Throwback. He doesn't like the word vintage. He doesn't like people saying that he's vintage Rose because he's still playing. And it was nice to see Julius Randle figure out like what happens when you get double teamed because there was a game and a half where he could not understand what that meant.
I think the new Riley Curry of this playoffs is going to be Julius Randle's son.
He was
his
so
son
funny.
His son is hilarious.
Mean mugging.
His son just staring people down, ice grilling them.
So good. And Obi Toppin. Obi Toppin. Ain't no stopping Obi Toppin. And the Knicks fan who spit on Trae Young. Bad. See ya. You don't deserve to be in the Mecca. And then that's a perfect segue to the big story of Russell Westbrook getting popcorn dumped on him.
I was about to say a torch update. I think that New York fans are the new Philly fans.
Well, then Philly fans did that.
But it's popcorn. Like, yeah, honestly, but not
Russell Westbrook was hurt.
Not that bad.
That's the part that...
Yeah.
Because then you add in the...
The injury factor.
Yeah, as he was going off the court with an ankle injury.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is a ridiculous thing to do that. I've long-standing had a idea that players should be able to fight one fan a year. I'm going to adjust this, though, because I was thinking about it. Everyone correctly said the problem is Russell Westbrook would have used his fight on game one, and that's true. He would have used it game one of the season, not mm-hmm. this series. So I think what it should be is every player gets to call out a fan to fight, and, like, you know how they have – I mean, for the Bulls, they have the Dunkin' Donuts race, or they'll have, like, the moving ball. Basically, you have something on the Jumbotron – it's like a roulette wheel, and it either says fight or no fight. And if the player calls out a fan, so it's unlimited amount of fights for the season. If the player calls out a fan and it's a no fight, the player owes the fan that game check. And if it's a fight, then the fan has to come down and fight the player in the middle of the court.
I would love to see which players would use their fight a fan thing on somebody that's just sitting there minding their own business. Just like
I think it has to like, be, I feel you like, have to be provoked.
I feel like fighting tonight. Well, then we have to figure out where the line's drawn. At
I think
that
it's
point.
Just anything like I think yelling or
at that point it becomes like too much of legislation. You just say a player can fight, and that's part of the it's part of the risk of attending a game. It's like going to a baseball game. You might get hit with a foul ball. You go to a 76ers game. You might have Ben Simmons punching you in your tooth.
Well, and also you would then this would also make it so that fans are a little even feistier because they now have a chance to get the game check.
Yeah,
if there's no fight. And then they also have a chance to get their ass kicked for everyone to watch, which would be incredible.
Oh, and then we could set up some sort of stunt where, like, Floyd Mayweather goes to a game wearing old people makeup, like Kyrie Irving.
Uh-huh.
And then he talks shit, flips the guy off, takes the mask off, and now we got a real fight.
Now he fights.
What if it's like the kid in the bathroom fighting?
What do you mean?
What if it's like an MMA trained?
Oh, the Oklahoma guy.
Oh,
Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Then
yeah,
great. So that's, that's good for the sport.
Yeah, that's up to the player. They have to decide. They can't call out someone that they think could kick their ass. It would just add an element. Like if Russell Westbrook could basically say to that person who dropped popcorn on him, or Trae Young could say to the guy who spit on him, "You now have to fight me," and it's legally everything is on the table. Like we have to fight, no weapons. But if I kick your ass, if I knock you out, there's nothing you can do about it.
Okay, what about
Russell Westbrook never would have made it to that late in the season, though.
That's what I'm saying. So now it's a roulette wheel. So it's a 50-50 proposition. It's a flip of a coin whether the fight is on or not. And if the fight's not on, then the fan automatically gets the game check.
I also think that you should be allowed to call out like groups of fans, too. So instead of saying it's one fan, it's like one fight.
Mm-hmm.
And you can include, if you want to go like 5v1 in that one fight, you can do that too.
Yes. But just imagine if you're sitting at a basketball game and Russell Westbrook, there's a timeout, calls a timeout, and then you hear over like the PA announcer's like, "And we have a call out, we have a call out. Russell Westbrook has called out fan in section 101, seat A4. And then the fan comes out, they stand there, they spin the wheel, fight or no fight. I mean, that's the greatest entertainment of all time.
And how sick would it be if you use your fight in the playoffs? If you're on the Suns, let's say, I don't know, Devin Booker, and he sees Drake in the front row. He's like, "I want Drake."
Yeah, I want to fight his ass.
Then Drake has to do it.
Yes, absolutely. It'd be great.
If Drake wins, he gets in the hotel room.
So implement that. Yeah, Philly fans had a nice night. I mean, I guess it was really, truly, like, so perfect that Philadelphia and New York, no fans for a year and a half. First chance they get to have fans back, it's like, well, we gotta make up for lost time.
They're vaxxed, waxed, ready to relax.
Yeah, it's like we have to get this going. So,
and then afterwards, like out in the street, it looked like, I mean, at that point, I was like, New
outside
York
the
is
Mecca,
back. Outside the Mecca, when people were taking their shirts off, it was almost a riot, almost like fires getting started.
Yep,
sports are better with fans. And then down in DC, you had that naked, the full nude Nationals fan crawl inside the tarp. And hide from people
that
there.
That was awesome.
That was, yes. Points for creativity, because I've never seen that before.
Now, I'm guilty of this, because I did tweet this on, I think, Sunday, when the PGA Championship and the Mecca were both rocking, and I was like, this is awesome. Sports are better with fans. How long till it's just the lame guys at the party being like, sports are better with fans? It's like August, and people are still tweeting that, being like, sports are better with fans. Yeah, we know.
I think you got to give us at least a year.
You because, get a hey, couple. Listen,
it'll be this playoff run for NBA and NHL, and then the beginning of football season.
Okay, and then it's fair. Like, yes, college football is a big one. So I think sometime around Thanksgiving, if you're still doing that, if you're still pointing out the extremely obvious sports are better with fans, you're late to it.
Yeah, but I'm still going to – like, I'm still amazed when I look at a TV screen.
Correct.
And there are fans going nuts, like at the Islanders game.
Yeah, no, this
it's
is –
amazing.
We're in a nice honeymoon phase where it is incredible to turn on a game. And just be like, oh, my God, this is awesome.
Unless
fans.
It's in Canada. Well, which is in Canada. Which makes it look so much worse for them.
So much worse.
What about this? When are we going to get our first counter take? Somebody being like, sports were better without fans because fans are pouring popcorn and spitting on players. Yes. I feel like that's probably coming in the next 2 days.
Yeah.
If we get one incident, probably tonight, if we get an incident featuring like LeBron.
Yeah.
There will be that take that comes out tomorrow.
Why the bubble was actually good for the NBA.
Yes. Why COVID actually was good for sports.
Yes. All right. Next thing we got to talk about. We got to talk about the match that got announced. It is Bryson DeChambeau and Aaron Rodgers versus Tom Brady and Phil Mickelson. Probably the two guys I hate the most have teamed up. And where we come in, Brooks has... So there's a couple things that happened. There was some Twitter back and forth. PFT, because I love you, I'm not going to mention the fact that Bryson basically made the same exact joke that you made a week ago.
No, he didn't, actually.
So I'm not going to say
But he didn't, is the thing.
Right.
Which joke?
The
deflated balls joke.
But his joke was, I was talking about Bitcoin deflating.
Right,
Which was actually something that correlated.
Right.
Bryson's joke was, your spirit will be deflated.
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started.
I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy.
Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Well, so it was a deflation joke.
Yeah,
it was so much worse. It was the ball format.
But you even admitted it when someone said, like, hey, PFT, this sucks. Of course. This was the same joke.
Only two people can judge me, God and Tom Brady, on my jokes. Mm-hmm. And Tom Brady already weighed in on that, so I feel like it's time to move on.
Right.
But yes, correct. It was a similar joke. And I just think that maybe Bryson copied me, I think. And that's tough.
Yeah, that is tough.
That's tough.
You know what? He's rent free.
I'm rent free. Bryson head. Said,
yes, correct.
"Yeah, yeah." Then we got into a whole like rent free off debate, which we predicted.
I know, on, so on the good. Last
that's Bryson's go to. Those are the death throes of a dead man when they start to make rent free jokes.
Triggered or rent free is pretty much like I have nothing else to say.
Yeah.
So yeah, he went to his group of scientists and was like, "What's the great response?" He's like, "How about we go with rent free?" Brooks played it perfectly. That's not a biased take. That's just a factual take saying sorry to Aaron Rodgers that he has to be paired with Bryson DeChambeau, which actually, as much as I hate Aaron Rodgers, I wouldn't wish being paired with Bryson DeChambeau on my worst enemy.
No.
And Aaron Rodgers is my worst enemy.
Yeah, no, it's a tough pairing. Like, it's very, very hard to root for. I predict that Aaron Rodgers will be sick of him as a teammate by hole two.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, let's get ahead of this. Can we please get Aaron Rodgers some help? Why is there every sport that Aaron Rodgers plays... It seems like no one wants to give him a good teammate to play with.
Yeah.
I think he should bow out of this tournament, too, and go chill in Hawaii for
He's having a good time in Hawaii. I love that for him. I love it for him and Miles
playing
Teller.
Guitar.
Yeah, playing guitar, long hair, man bun, feeling good.
Weird.
He's living his truth.
That whole team is copying me.
Yes, that's true. They are. They're swaggerjacking you. But either way, this is going to be great for golf and something that we can truly hate. And Brooks... If you are still thinking that, like, Bryson has Brooks bothered and not the opposite way around, then, like, you just showed up 2 days ago.
Because
it's clear, Brooks tweeted out the video, like, Bryson gets mad on the range, at the golf course. If you mention Brooks, if you mention, like, anything, he gets very upset.
And also, Bryson, he has a Mickey Mouse U.S. Open. Can we admit that?
Oh, here's something I'll just throw
out
there.
It's a Mickey Mouse Major Championship. There are no fans.
Here's something I'll throw out there. The only time that Bryson DeChambeau won a major, Brooks Koepka wasn't there.
Yeah.
So do the math, okay?
Yeah.
He wasn't there.
I got a Rick Riley joke. Is it okay? Should we wait for Tom Brady to judge it?
I was going to say it, and then Bryson will
Bryson will use it. Okay, here's a good one, Bryson. Hey, you guys hear that Aaron Rodgers and Bryson DeChambeau were on a golf team together?
Yeah.
It's impossible to find a team that hates ants more than those two.
Oh, nice.
Get it?
Like his aunt, his family?
His family.
And the little ants?
Yeah.
Get it?
I actually didn't get it till the family part. Oh. That's great.
Do you say aunt? Are you an aunt guy?
Yeah, I am.
There it is.
Tom, please weigh in.
It's okay, PFT. I know that it doesn't bother you that Bryson took your joke.
It doesn't. Hey, Bryson, if you're going to – here's what really bothers me about Bryson. If you're going to wear metal spikes on a golf course like a freak, at least have the common decency to be winning the tournament so that other people don't have to play after you.
Yeah, that's
true. He made, like, everybody on the golf course play after
him. Well, someone pointed out that Tiger always wore metal cleats.
But that's Tiger.
And also, he's on crutches now from wearing metal cleats his whole career.
Right.
So
made his ankles weak. Yeah,
right.
Like, be a real shame if that were to happen to Bryson.
I mean, I'm not rooting for injuries.
We do know that Bryson gets a little careless with his driver.
All right, let's go. We should just at least mention that Javi Baez broke base running in the Pirates' brains today because that was a hilarious clip. To run back towards home, I don't think you can ever do that again because now they'll actually be like, hey, if this happens, here's what you do. But Javi Baez hitting a ball to the shortstop, the ball taking the first baseman off the bag, and then just going back towards home and being like, what are you going to do? And then the Pirates just forgetting how to play defense.
No one had ever done that before.
It's incredible.
And I think that it's a play that you're definitely more likely to see at, like, T-ball levels and Little League. I'm talking, like, 8-9-year-old coach pitch levels.
Yes.
And then you get so good at baseball that type of weird shit doesn't happen to you for the rest of your career.
Right.
But Javi never forgets the stuff that he learned when he was a kid. And so he starts running back to home plate. They threw the ball home. The catcher tried to tag out the runner from third base,
yes,
which is stupid as shit. That guy can score, and you get the force out at first base, and it doesn't matter what happened.
Right.
And then the first baseman has the audacity to start yelling at the pitcher, telling him to cover first base. Bitch, you're the first baseman. You cover first base. You walk 2 miles per hour back down the line, step on the base. It was probably the worst but most hilarious baseball play
incredible
I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And that's the Pirates.
That's the Pirates. And that's also, it was actually the perfect storm because it's not only the Pirates, but also Javi Baez basically, he's a great, you know, improvisational base runner. Let's put it that way.
He's like jazz.
He kind of makes up his own rules as he goes, and then you get moments like this where he's doing crazy shit.
Did you see when he took second base after the error by the second baseman covering first base?
Yes.
Javi sprints to second. They throw the ball to second base, which was also an error on that play. And then for a second, Baez jumps up and he's like, oh, fuck, do I have to run to third now?
He almost did, yeah.
And he thought about it, but he didn't. But that was, that's the highlight of the season so far.
Yeah. All right, so last up before we get to Mark Titus, awesome interview with Mark Titus. Then we got Firefest on the other end. We got a PR 101 for Amazon real quick. So tell me again what Amazon is doing.
So Amazon.
Jail cells?
Yeah, Amazon in their ongoing effort to continue to hypnotize their remaining workers, their remaining human workers, and ask them to stay in the warehouse. They've set up phone booths in the middle of all their warehouses where workers can go in and take an emotional break, where they just go and they essentially sit in a phone booth-sized box for 15 minutes, and then they walk out and go back to work.
Penalty box.
It's a penalty box. So if you're working an 8-hour shift without peeing, you can go into this phone booth and cry for 10 minutes and come out. Thank you, Jeff.
I like that Amazon just, like, when you create an insanely large computer company, but it's not computer company. It's everything's on the internet, obviously, and they're just selling all these things, and then they try to humanize it. It's like, whoops, we can't go backwards here.
Yeah.
We can't actually put, like, a human culture into this thing. We've gone too far.
Right. All their humans are really just code in their giant system where they just – that's the way that they know how to quantify things. But it's if you look at it from, like, a up top 30,000-foot perspective, what they've done is they've just created a box – that their workers can go into, sit and stare at a screen, step out, and feel better about continuing. They're just hypnotizing their workers into not hating their job. Like, this is little hypnosis.
Yes. You go in the box. It's the Boo Box from Hook.
What's the Boo Box?
Remember the Boo Box in Hook when you go in, like, the trunk and they put, like, scorpions and stuff in there?
Smee?
Yeah, the Boo Box.
Oh, okay.
You go in the Boo Box, and then when you come out, you're like, life is good out here.
I mean,
outside of the Boo Box.
All you have to do is put one snake in one of those boxes.
Yeah.
And like a real venomous one. Like
I'd fucking snap its windpipe.
A pit fight. That's all a snake is.
Yeah.
It's one long windpipe.
Exactly.
You step in there, there's a poisonous snake. a report comes out, hey, there was a venomous snake in one of these things, then none of their workers ever want to take a break again.
Yes.
That's really the long play if you're Jeff Bezos.
By the way, quick update on the animal talk that we had last week. I saw a video of an elephant walking, and he had like a, I don't know, probably about 10-foot long dick. You don't think I could fucking stomp on that dick?
Just, here's what you do.
I'd dick punch him, and then I'd win.
Here's what you do. You take his dick, and then you wrap it around all of his legs.
Yes.
Like how they took down those big walking things in Star Wars. Trip him with his own dick, tie it into a knot.
It was that big.
And then you walk up to his trunk, and you just squeeze his trunk and hold his breath.
Yeah. So, and then he explodes.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to our interview. We got Mark Titus. Awesome interview. We're just kind of shoot the shit with him. Good vibes going into the long weekend. Reminder, we have a no show on Monday, show on Tuesday, show on Friday. Before we get to Mark.
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started.
I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy.
Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Here he is, Mark Titus. Okay, we now welcome on a very special guest. He's one of our best friends. He is here. What was the coffee? The coffee.
Oh, the coffee. Sorry.
Which we
were up until like, I didn't go to sleep until like 4 o'clock in the morning last night, Mark.
Yeah, Mark, what, you know what, let's start there. Well, actually, I wanted to introduce you. So it is Mark Titus. He works for Fox Sports. Titus and Tate podcast. People's Sports podcast with our friend Charlotte Wilder. Titus and Tate with our friend Tate Frazier. The People's Sports podcast. Are you a communist?
That's a great question. I am whatever is in vogue. Is communism, would you say communism's having a moment right
it's
now?
It's kind of had, it's elevated itself to the pantheon of political.
Re-apexed?
Like, friend, yes, re-apexed. I think it is in the pantheon right now, actually.
Okay.
French political movements. Let me put it to you this way. Do you recognize Taiwan as a country?
Oh, hard-hitting question.
Great question. I would say I'm going to follow the lead of great Ohioan LeBron James, and I am going to educate myself on the matter.
Okay.
I am not going to speak before I have all the facts. I think a lot of people out here are just like talking like they know things. A lot of people that are like MIT educated and stuff like that. But but they don't have all the facts like I do. So I'm gonna collect the facts first before. Okay.
Get some facts and come back to me.
But I will. I will put out a statement, though, so be on the lookout for that. It's coming. I just want to make sure I get all the
facts.
We'll
put it up on Weibo. It is funny. Like, we were talking yesterday about living rent-free in people's heads, and technically, like, the entire nation of Taiwan lives rent-free in China because they think that that mainland China is still Taiwan. It's a wild scene, yeah. Just you're right, though. Wait till all the facts come out.
What's going on with your background? Are these National Geographics?
Yeah, first of all, I've come on the show like 4 times with this background, I think. But
we usually don't put on the video for you.
Oh, for real?
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just now noticing. No, yeah, actually, you don't want to know. You want to know the dumbest thing ever?
What?
So the pandemic has been going on for whatever, a year and a half that we've gone to basically all Zoom interviews for I don't know, 16 of the 18 months. We basically just did the interviews with a laptop sitting on a bunch of Coors Light cases, and we could barely see the person's like background or even their face, and that person could barely hear us. And then one day we're like, wait, can we put it up on the TV? So now we have it on the TV. So it takes us some time to figure things out.
I think I did. I think that's probably what happened. I think I did the show a few times where that was the case.
Yeah, you couldn't hear us, right? Like now you can actually hear us.
No, these are all the national parks I've been to.
It was
like a thing. I'm actually gonna redo this room. I don't know. I was like trying to. I was going to a lot of them, and I was trying to think of a collectible to get, and then I just started getting these like little things, and I started hanging them up, and I don't know. It looks kind of cool, but it's time for a change.
I like it. You're one of those. I do like the guys that have like the RVs with the 50 states on them, and then they color in the 50 states. How many states do you think is an acceptable amount to start with? Because you can't
get an RV and just have like North and South Dakota colored in.
Right.
You also have to have like a, I feel like you have to have a wide range of, from a geographical perspective. Like if you just have like the Northeast colored in, that looks stupid. Or yeah. You just have like California, Oregon, and Washington and the red, you know, like you have to have been like, if you're from New York, you have to have like gone to like Montana and Arizona, and then you can like cut a color, you know what I mean?
I think 35 states seems right. Are you
to start with?
Well, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't know. That's a lot. That's a lot of states.
No, but I feel like if you do like that is a lot of states, but it also isn't. Like you can kind of go through your head and be like, "Wait, I've been to like a lot more states." Maybe this is also the nature of our job.
And also the Northeast, all the states are really close together. They're small.
But like, and then you're like, oh, okay, so I've been to, oh, Cleveland. Oh, I've been to Florida. Oh, I went through, you know, Atlanta once. I don't know. It just adds up fast. But again, this could be the nature of the job.
Yeah. Anyway, this was my solution. I didn't want to be the stickers on the back of the car. Or like the stickers on the Yeti. Is
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be that guy.
Are you a big Zion guy?
Zion National Park?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I was just wondering. I love Zion.
I think
National
it's right.
Park.
Let me figure out my. Yeah, it's right there.
What about the player?
I famously said on this program that I was the original Zion. So I think those of us who played basketball during our careers, we were a little bit overweight, if you will, I think we have to stick together. We have to bond together. So of course I'm a Zion guy.
Shout out you, by the way. You had a post on your Instagram story the other day where you were like, anytime I feel bad about myself, I just look at 2014 Mark Titus. Yeah. And it actually is like the Face app, Snapchat, look at what everyone would look like if they were 100 pounds heavier. That might be the greatest picture to have in your back pocket because you're hot now, like very hot, which I'll gas you up. We do that now. But that, like, you should have that on your refrigerator. It's incredible.
I'm so proud of it. I had a bunch of people reach out to me because I was going through, I was getting rid of an old computer and I was digging up old pictures and trying to figure out which ones to save and which ones to get rid of. And I just stumbled across a treasure trove of pics of when I was fat. And I didn't realize I was fat. Like in the moment, that's how it works. It's like, you're just like, yeah, put on a little bit, but I'm not that bad. So anytime I come across those pictures, it's hysterical. I love it. And I had people reach out to me and say like, not that I was brave, but it's like, man, that's crazy that you're willing to just do that. I'm like, what do you mean willing to do that? That's like the greatest thing ever. Yes. It's like it's like the greatest, like to be like, this is what I used to look like. And right. Now I don't look like this anymore. I played it so beautifully. Cause I was fat in my 20s. I'm in better shape now than I was when I played basketball, which is, was really smart too. Cause I was kind of doughy when I played basketball as well. So, that is the standard I think people hold you to, is like what you look like in your 20s and all that. And, I played it beautifully. I lowered the bar very, very low when I was like 25. And then now all I have to do is just like not eat like garbage and people think I look great when really I don't think it's really that. It's just, I just don't look like what I used to.
No, you look great. You look great. And you also have like the Cali tan, your hair. You've been wearing a lot of Hawaiian shirts.
Oh, you're drinking water at like 9 o'clock in the morning.
Like you're doing all these things.
That's a flex though. Drinking like a big glass of water first thing in the morning. That's a major healthy person.
That basically gets you on Joe Rogan's podcast as a scientist.
Yeah.
Be like, you know what I do? I chug water in the morning.
My skin is great. That's that dude from Peloton, the CEO of Peloton. Every morning he goes to the sink and he takes, I think, 40 handfuls of water and throws them into his mouth and gulps them down. That's his secret. That's when I knew it was time to get off the bike.
Oh, Jesus. That's amazing.
I don't have that yet. Give me a few more years in California and I'll have like my thing that I do. I don't really have a thing yet. I just kind of like, I don't know, I jog every so often, but yeah, I will have something where I'm like injecting kale into my veins or something.
You go outside.
I'm not there yet. I don't have anything weird yet.
Go outside and stare directly at the sun for 30 seconds every morning.
Yeah. Right. Burn your retinas.
What is the difference in process between like having a guy, because I imagine you guys didn't write anything down when I said I would come on the show.
No.
Versus like someone that you're being pitched to come on and you, I don't know, and you don't know anything about them. You have no idea what to expect. What is your what's the difference of process there?
Well, sometimes they ask us to write down sample questions and then we just totally make those up and we never, yeah. And maybe we'll end up asking one out of like 20
They're
questions that we
total
send,
bullshit.
But that's just by coincidence that we do that. So occasionally we do that. And then usually it's mostly just Kelly or Peggy or Booker's
just being like, hey, do you want this person? And us being like, oh, God, it's another text from Kelly again. And then we ignore it for a while. Then she yells at Hank. And then we say, yeah, okay, we'll take that person.
That's pretty much. That's the whole process.
One thing I could get better at that I could ask you guys for advice is when do you plug the energy drink that the guest has to plug? Like, is that out of the gate you do that? Do you like, cause I haven't gotten a natural, you know, you have someone on, you want to talk about their career. You want to talk about something interesting that you want, that they did, I don't know. You have your list of questions and they're like, all right, so pivoting here, it's your energy drink that you're promoting. What's that about? It says here that you're in crypto. What is that about?
There are times. Yeah. There are times where it is, like we've had certain interviews and people will know exactly who we're talking about when we say these, but like where it's just awkward. It's almost like the classic Dan Patrick when he had Matt Harvey on and Matt Harvey refused to talk about anything but Qualcomm. There'll be some of those where you're like, this sucks. Like, you don't want to be here.
I should do that sometime. Yeah. That'd be a good bit for me to come out here and just like
pitch something for the entire time. Like, let's get it back to Qualcomm.
I'm just here to talk about broadband access. That's it. Yeah. let's get into it. But yeah, Rock and Refuel, actually, the AJ
Rock
Green
and Refuel
one. See, sometimes it's actually funny because the guest will just constantly talk about the product and it goes out the other end and it becomes good again because it's so bad.
Yeah. I should do that. That's a good bit I could try.
So, all right. So I have a real basketball question. So the Clippers are probably, at the time of this taping, they're down 2-0. And I had the take that we'll eventually get to the point where people will be like, they just hate each other because it makes no sense. Obviously, Luka's incredible and the Mavs are a good team, but it makes no sense that they could possibly be out of the playoffs again in the first, or last year was the second round, but first round. Do you think that it's a chemistry thing and being on teams your entire life at, you know, Ohio State and AAU? I don't know if everyone knows, but he played with Odin and Mike Conley, AAU. Yep. How much is the chemistry actually a real thing in basketball?
Oh, it's a thing. I think the Clippers, though, it's I don't know if they really hate each other when I watch the Clippers, it feels like they all want to have a chip on the shoulder, but they're kind of trying to just shortcut the chip on the shoulder situation where they're like, there's like a sense of entitlement. I don't know. It's like a false, it's so weird. And what I mean by that is like the thing that stood out to me, I was watching the Lakers game last night.
Lakers fan.
I'm a diehard Lakers fan as we've discussed. Paul George crosses up Porzingis and the Clippers bench goes nuts and they're pointing at Porzingis and they're mocking Porzingis. And there's this whole attitude about how they're like the tough guys, but they're also down 2-0 and they've lost two games at home. And they were doing this last year too with like chirping at Luka when they were playing the Mavs. They were chirping at Dame Lillard when he was at the free throw line. I just get the sense of like they all want to be chip on their shoulder underdog. Like we're the team no one likes in LA, whatever. But they don't actually play hard or care about the score. It's a bizarre deal. I don't think they hate each other. They hate themselves. I think everybody on that team deep down kind of hated themselves. Yeah.
Here's the take I'm going to probably work on. It's not ready yet, but Kawhi just isn't built to be like the true alpha because he doesn't, you do at some point have to be the guy who like yells at your teammates and like, hey, go over here, do this, do that. And you could make the argument that with the Raptors, you know, the Spurs obviously were loaded for other reasons. They had different guys, but the Raptors, Kyle Lowry was probably that guy for that team.
Yeah. I would agree with you, I guess.
And Paul George is not that guy. They don't have that guy.
If you wanted to get into like the psychology of it, Paul George probably feels the need to stand up and try to be that guy because Kawhi is not as vocal as he should be or as vocal as a lot of other leaders are. But he also knows that Kawhi is way better than him. So when he tries to step in that leadership position, he's being like totally inauthentic, gets in his own head.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like their trash talk is inauthentic. That's the way of putting it, is inauthentic. It's like they have this brand in their head of like, this is the team we are. And it's very, you know, even Ty Lue, like the way I haven't paid that much attention to the Clippers this year, but every time like a Ty Lue post game press conference quote pops up on my timeline, I just roll my eyes at like how he's like trying to play a character of, I don't know. I don't give a damn. Like he feels like Ty Lue just says that a lot. Like, I don't give a damn what the haters think and what It's like, what? Okay, I don't. Right. Okay.
Right. He's like, who are you talking to right now?
Ty, what's going on right now? Right. I don't know. The Clippers, they've gotten kind of boring to me. I think it was more fun last year watching them flame out. And this year, I'm not really surprised. And it's just, I don't know. It's not as fun. Last year was fun. Last year watching them.
Yeah, you're right. There's
hilarious. This year, it's just like kind of
sad. Depressing. Yeah. It's sad and depressing. And you're like, wait, this is... They really do suck, kind of.
Yeah,
like
they just kind of.
When it's supposed to matter, they just suck. Yeah, it's. Yeah. I don't know. I just. It's fun watching, like a team, and knowing that it's going to produce the most nuclear takes. Like the Clippers are one of those teams where you have the star potential, you have the Paul George playoff P, which is a lightning rod, and you just know you're going to get the takes.
But I guess my argument would be I think the Nets are the new Clippers because the Clippers have gotten to the point now where there is no, like, arguing. I don't think it's worth, like, hashing out.
They stink.
There's no two sides. They just stink. That's what I'm saying. It's just depressing, and you're just like, yeah, they stink. You're not caught in an argument of, like, can they do it? Are they going to be – is the chemistry going to work? I don't know, man. They're still really talented, so I still think they're going to – you don't really have arguments about it. I think the Nets are the new Clippers in that regard. We're like, they're obviously very good. They're super talented. They're the favorites to win it, but can it work?
Right.
Do they have production after the first three guys? And then now you can kind of argue about that. And like, is
four guys,
is Griffin. Sorry. I forgot about Blake. Is Kyrie nuts? And is James Harden a little too, like, you start are can those three personalities mesh? Like that's what the new Clippers are to me.
Right.
Nets.
Yeah. If you were,
get him out of here.
If you were on the Nets, so if we took Joe Harris off the Nets and we put Mark Titus on it, in your peak abilities,
yeah.
How many points could you score?
I could hit open shots, so I guess it comes down to that. Like, I'd be good for like a couple threes a game.
Okay,
it sounds preposterous. I know people listening are like, you don't understand what goes into NBA, and I do. I get it. Like, I would be very out of shape. I cannot guard anybody. My always, like, whenever I think about these hypotheticals, my thought is always like, how long can I be on the court before people realize this guy doesn't belong on this court?
Right.
Like, this guy's, and I feel like I could disguise it for like a minute or two where I could cut hard off of the, I would know where to be. I would spot up in good position stuff. Defense, I get burned a couple times, but I blame it on my teammates and I just point, you know? And I think if you're watching, you'd be like, all right, he got burned, but like maybe there was supposed to be help there or something. So I think I could disguise it for like 2 minutes, but in all honesty, I could hit open shots. And I think like, if you're playing with those three guys, that's all you got to do is spot up in the corner. So I'm good for like, I go like 2 for 7 from the 3-point line, just spotting up in the corner. I think
that's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I go 2 for 7. Yeah.
On defense, did you ever pull this move when you tried to just like blend in, pretend that you got blocked behind like a really good screen that you had trouble fighting your way through?
Yeah.
And that's why you weren't able to guard him. Yeah. That's a good
I was
one.
Great at dying on screens. That was a great defensive move. Also the, let the guy blow by you and then try to poke it from behind move.
Mm. Yeah.
Scream when a guy goes up for a layup. That's also like a
yeah.
A quick one.
The reach around.
I love doing
though,
that.
That's an all time. I'm completely gassed, but I'm going to make like the bare minimum effort.
Yes.
Right. I do that. I don't know. A lot of bad charge attempts. I don't know. But dying on screens is a good one. Dying on because in my mind, when you're playing defense, if you get screened, that's basically just that's a get out of jail free card.
Yes.
Good offense.
It now falls on the
It
now falls on the rest of the team to do something about it. And you're like, all right, my work here is done. I've been screened.
So what about the Midwest teams? You are Mr. Midwest after all.
Yep.
Are you rooting for the Bucks?
I think I'd have to be. Because the Bucks have like college basketball vibes where it's like they're Virginia before Virginia won the title, or they're like Baylor, you know, where they're good every year, but they can't get over the hump and people are counting them out. And I think like I'm cheering for them for that story because it's a small market. And they play an ugly brand of basketball. And I would like to see them pulled off. I don't really know who I'm cheering for though. I am cheering for small markets in general. I want small markets in general. I don't want Lakers Nets. I definitely don't want that.
We're rooting for the Nets just because of Blake Griffin and hoping that we get to like in some way like the first 400 text messages that he sends are like not responded to, and then he sends like a text to us being like, hey, You want to come party with the team?
I was going to say, yeah. The party. Have you guys ever done that? Like, PFT, you did that with the Caps, kind of?
Yeah, with the Caps after the Stanley Cup. That was that was quite a night.
Yeah. Yeah, I did with the Blackhawks, both 13 and 15. It was very fun. Very, very fun.
I imagine.
And the Cubs, actually, with Rizzo. But that was different because baseball is different. Like, the guys aren't, like, friends the same way.
But you weren't in Cleveland either, like the night of. I'm talking like the night of.
No, yeah. I was doing.
I remember.
Yes,
I remember.
Yes. 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 I was doing with Dave. With Dave. Yeah.
I imagine NBA guys. I don't know. Hockey guys can party. They can. They can.
Hockey.
I'm sure that.
By far the best.
The scenario with the Caps was it was in Las Vegas and they didn't fly home. Usually the team that wins the Stanley Cup on the road, they'll get on a plane that night. They'll go back to their hometown. They'll party there, but they're like, we're in Vegas. We're going to stay here. And that was, it was absolutely insane.
Well, I tell you what, if the Nets are playing the Lakers and they clinch in L.A., you guys got to come out to L.A. and then let me sneak into this party.
We got to come out to L.A. and stay at your house and then hope that
stay
Blake
at my house.
Texts us?
Yeah, we'll all just be sitting. We'll live stream all of us. We'll have Rosillo come over. We'll all go to Rosillo's house. And we'll just live stream the four of us staring at our phones waiting for Blake Griffin to text us.
I have a pretty good sense of like where I stand with some of our guests / like celebrity athletes. Yeah. I would say that there's a 0.00001% chance that Blake Griffin would ever text us after. And that's not a knock on Blake. I just know like where I stand with him, and I love him, and I think he does consider us friends, like this show and like all of us, but that would not happen.
What if you reach out to him, though?
No, I think he would give me – he hit me with the ha-ha. The button one.
Yeah,
like I'm like, hey, you want to go out? You hit me with the ha ha.
Emphasize,
and then it would just be that would be it, and I'm like, okay, cool.
We're not even his favorite podcast. So,
yeah, Dax Shepard.
Dax is probably going to hang out with him afterwards.
Wow,
it's hurtful.
Wow,
it's now very hurtful.
James Harden, that would be a fun guy to hang out with.
Yes,
right,
that would be fun.
God
that would
damn
be fun.
It.
He would be like J.R. Smith, except not putting on a show. He just wouldn't put pants on for the next like weekend.
Who would be the least fun like of all the teams in the playoffs if they won? What would be the
least fun team?
You get asked to go out with them. They're
like this.
You get to go party that night after they won the title, and you're like, meh.
I mean, the Clippers.
I don't need to.
Yeah,
Clippers. The Clippers. Paul George and like Kawhi standing in the corner.
Patrick Beverly getting into fights with everybody.
Yeah, sneaky. Maybe most fun would be the Sixers. I think Joel Embiid would be so much fun to be.
Joel Embiid would be a ton of fun.
He seems like a guy who would be like trying to. He seems like a guy who would want everyone else to have as much fun as him.
Yeah, you know? The Mavs. The idea of like Cuban and Luka. I don't know if that would be fun or not. I think it's one end of the spectrum, and I don't know if it's like the worst party ever, or if it, like Luka would get after it and be a ton of fun to be around.
What about the Jazz? If you win in Salt Lake City, I guess you could turn it into a game, and you could be like, we could realistically try to drink every ounce of alcohol. In this entire city.
Well, I mean, the Jazz would be if I was making a list of like parties I could most likely get into, the Jazz is probably at the top.
Yeah, that's definitely at the top. So, I mean, the most fun is a no-brainer, the Suns. We'd all get our dicks sucked. Right? Where Jake goes first, what would you go? Mark, let's go around the room. I call third. I want third.
I'll go last.
Okay, there we go, PFT. So
Mark,
I go third.
Mark
Jake
wanted
first.
To say he wanted to go last, but I could tell that he was embarrassed. So
you
I'll
want second? You want the two hole?
The two hole.
You can. All right, we'll give Mark the two hole, and then we'll just go Hank and Bubba 4-5.
Bubba batting cleanup?
Yeah, Bubba 4, Hank 5, PFT 6. Yeah, I mean, that would by far be the – like, I would imagine showing up to the Suns. Imagine if Frank Kaminsky got us in the Suns party. We're like, so
you know
when's the dick sucking?
Jay Crowder's still icing his balls down.
Oh, shit. I think the Celtics wouldn't be fun either.
No.
I think if the Celtics won, that
should we
be
talk
fun.
About your what? Boy? So,
no, we don't need to.
Well, I mean, Brad Stevens, is he coaching for his job? Well –
He
is coaching
for his
boy
anymore.
He's not your boy anymore. But I thought Indiana didn't offer him.
Yeah, they didn't offer him, but at the same time, they offered him $70 million. But they and then he's like, what? They never offered me anything. And I don't know. I wish Brad well. I am from the Brad Stevens coaching tree. He coached me when I was in second grade. We go way back. So I will cheer for Brad, but the dream is dead. The dream is officially dead. I came on this show. I tried to meme it into existence. I tried to meme Brad Stevens.u, but I really do like Mike Woodson. Are you nervous yet, Big Cat, that like all the initial laughing at Mike Woodson is already looking shaky?
I told you I'm nervous because of Thad Matta. Like, Mike Woodson does not make me nervous. Thad Matta makes me nervous. Thad Matta is a great recruiter, and he knows how to build a program, so he would absolutely makes me nervous. And it's more – I'm more nervous about, like, what the future is with Greg Gard than I am about – you know what I mean? Yeah. It seems unstable.
Mm-hmm.
So
– that seems fair, but he just got an extension, didn't he? So he'll be around for a little while. So
yeah.
Good for you. Yeah, a little more stable now.
Going to get back to Titus in a second, but first want to talk to you about our great, great friends over at Coors Light. You ever feel like summer just flies by? What do you do when you need a moment to chill in the summer? I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to take a pause for the cause. You need to crack open an ice-cold Coors Light because it is the official beer of slowing down summer. Summer always feels like the shortest season. We need to make the most out of it. We all just need to chill. As a beer that's made to chill, we want you to savor every second of summer, rediscover, and enjoy what makes summer awesome. So when you need to slow down, just open up a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment. It's made to chill. The mountains turn the brightest shade of blue in the world. No offense, Bubba. Coors Light is a cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged beer. It's literally made to chill. It's as crisp, as refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It's perfect for a moment to unwind this summer. Coors Light, when you open it up, Coors Light makes the coldest sound in the world. The sound, you know what? I'm going to open one up right now.
There we go.
Here we go. Tell me this is not the coldest sound in the world.
Oh, buddy. Yes.
That's cold. Going to be doing that a few times this weekend. I'm going to be drinking some ice-cold Coors Light, some Colorado Kool-Aid. You should, too. Coors Light is the official beer of slowing down summer. Show us your Blue Mountains all summer long, because as the beer that's made to chill, we want you to savor every second of summer. Get Coors Light summer packaging straight to your door with Drizzly or with Instacart. You can celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
How long is Coach K going to coach for?
Tate is very much on the Tate put in my ear that Coach K is going to do a farewell tour this year.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I haven't gotten out of my head since.
Oh,
and I
don't know if
does he have any sources behind that, or is he just
hold on.
And then it will happen like The Secret.
Hold on. Will it be year one? Because Coach K definitely is going to do a retiring in 2025.
Right.
Here's my last 4 years. Everyone really soak it in.
Well, also there's like imbalanced scheduling in the ACC. So he wants to make sure that every ACC arena he'll have a chance to get to everyone. So he's not going to get to all of them this year, but next year we'll be able to get to all of them. No, Tate has, as is anything with Duke and Tate, like he's got sources, but also like you could tell that guy anything that's like kind of bad about Duke, and he's just chomping at the bit, like, yes, I accept it as fact. Yeah, I'm running with this. So he definitely has sources. He has people that said there's a plan in place. But also I think he maybe didn't pay attention to the details. He just heard Coach K's retiring and just
interesting.
But he said it out loud, and I listened to him make the case, and I was like, that makes a ton of sense. All he really wanted to do was outlast Roy. Roy retired. I really do think like it's going to be interesting with all these old guys in college basketball, because the game, as you guys are probably aware, is like college basketball is almost unrecognizable in terms of like how you construct a team than it was even like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't surprise me if all these old guys just do what Roy did, where they just like wake up one day and they're like, I don't want to do this. This is insane. I don't want to like get into it. I don't even know how to log on to the transfer portal. I don't want to do this. And now I'm like, you know, you used to like, if you're Jim Boeheim, you're trying to recruit a guy to go to Syracuse instead of Duke. And now you have to recruit guys to not go to the overtime league, to not go like really at like a prep school, to not like go to Australia.
He's running out of sons. That's his most effective recruiting
technique. And I think you get to a point where maybe Bayheim, you know, I don't know.
He wakes up one day and his car's on. He's like, how'd I end up here? And he's like, I should probably retire.
He has kind of been asleep
Jake
at the wheel
so
for that
mad
program.
When we make those fucking jokes. He gets so mad.
Yeah, because Buddy and Jimmy are
AWL. Shout out Buddy and Jimmy. We love Buddy and Jimmy. I like Jim Boeheim. He's old school.
Who's the here's another great question. Who's someone that confirmed, listened to Pardon My Take all the time, huge AWL, in the world of sports, an athlete, a coach, or whatever, where you're like, that's cool, you listen to the show, still fuck you.
Oh, well, that's a good question.
I don't care.
Oh,
I'm not going to. Great question. I don't care.
You're,
that's not going
to
make me
trying
like
to
you.
Get us into a lot of trouble.
I think here. There are definitely some, we've gotten a little bit better because I know at the beginning, we would take pretty much any interview, and I think we did turn some people that we would make fun of, and then it's like, oh, we've lost those people. Now we're getting a little more conscious of like, like Dude Perfect, for example. I bet you if we wanted to get Dude Perfect on the show, we could.
Oh, easy. Yeah.
But we would never do it because then we can't make fun of them.
Easy answer. Yeah. Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah.
He listens to the podcast.
Yes.
Okay.
He was
all right,
listening on the range.
Yes. He listens.
There you go.
And
he's
the
one guy.
Us.
Yeah.
And we fucking hate him. Yeah. So still fuck that guy.
Hey, Bryson, fuck you.
I bet. Do you think, and this could go for your podcast too, Titus, like who. Let's not say listener, but they are aware of it, or it has been on at some point with them in the vicinity that you'd be like, whoa, that's awesome. Like we know that like Tom Brady has heard this podcast because Julian Edelman has like played it in the car.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like something like that. Like Tom Brady's not a listener, but he knows of our existence. Like, do you think LeBron has ever had a podcast with Mark Titus on it? Like it's in a lot, I don't know where it'd be. I don't think you'd listen to podcasts in a locker room.
No.
But is he aware?
I think I'm at a perfect level where I have enough of an audience that I can make a living doing this, and I can not worry about like where next month's rent's going to come from and all that kind of stuff. But I'm also at like, I'm not you guys. So if you Google sports podcast, if you're a look, because like LeBron, you know that he just Googles sports podcasts. That's how LeBron consumes all of his media. When it comes time to read a book, he just says, like, what are the best books? Yes. Oh, The Godfather. I'm going to pick that one up and read page one. So I feel like I'm at a great level where, like, you don't really stumble across my show. So you have to kind of seek it out. So I don't anticipate a lot of the heavy hitters are listening, but the one thing that like trips me out. So I think like for my world, it would be like college coaches.
Right.
And I know that Tom Izzo is aware of our show. And he definitely does not listen to it, but like I met Tom Izzo, the first time I ever met Tom Izzo, I was throwing out this theory. This is all the way back in 2016. Denzel Valentine was on Michigan State. He was first team All American. Michigan State was ranked like number one in the country or number two, something like that, really early out of the gate. They were playing out of their minds. Bryn Forbes was on the team too, who just had a great game for the Bucks. And they were awesome. And then Denzel Valentine suddenly has to get his knee scoped, and he's out for like 2 weeks or something. And then Michigan State starts losing a couple games. They're not playing that well. And I threw out this theory that Denzel Valentine faked his knee injury, that Tom Izzo told him, we're peaking too soon, and we need you to sit out for a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. Because when Denzel Valentine comes back from his knee injury, he's 100%. He's dunking on people. He's explosive, all that stuff. So I had this theory that Denzel Valentine faked his knee injury. I was demanding to see the scars on his knee, that he actually got it scoped, all this kind of stuff. Tom Izzo gets asked about in a press conference. Someone raises their hand and is like, Tom, what do you have to say about the theory that Denzel never actually had a knee scope and you just benched him for 2 weeks to – because you guys were peaking too soon. He's like, what? What the hell is going on? Fast forward like a week, Michigan State's playing at Ohio State. I'm working out at the shot with Greg Oden, and we're coming down the stairs from the weight room or something, and Izzo sees Greg, and because the team bus is pulling in to like go warm up or something. He sees Greg, and he's like, oh, big man, whatever, gives him daps him up, starts talking to him. Good to see you again. How's life? All that stuff. And he turns to me and he goes, I'm Tom Izzo. And I was like, hey, coach, Mark Titus. And he goes, you're the guy. And he puts me in a big headlock and starts giving me a noogie. And I'll never forget that moment. I was like, oh, my God. Like some of this bullshit I do on the internet like reaches these coaches, which is wild to me. So that was definitely a moment for me. But like I would say someone of that
story.
Ilk.
Yeah.
Like if Izzo, like Huggins, if Huggins mentions like at a post-game press conference, he's like, you know, these guys out here with these podcasts, Titus and the Tituses of the world, I would shit my pants. I'd have to retire, I think, you know?
Well, I think you're selling yourself short a little bit because, yeah, you maybe not in, like, the podcast format, but you're so hot, you probably get all the YouTube views. So we probably do very poorly on YouTube compared to you. We've got, faces for podcasting? and okay. and voices for blogging. You have
yeah. you're a TV face, guy. Yeah.
You have a face.
I'm a
for
TV
television.
Guy. Yeah, I'm a TV guy on YouTube. Tom Crean reached out to me one time. He called me, and I'll never forget that phone call when he just called and he's like, "Do you have a problem with me?" That's just how he started the phone call. Like, do you have a are you obsessed with me? And I was like, yeah, kind
of,
coach.
Sort of, yeah. No, I mean,
sort of, yeah.
Sometimes like, it takes like a guy holding a mirror like that to you to be like, yeah, I think this is the me problem.
And yeah. Tom Crean is the perfect example of a guy who we interviewed, and we're like, wow, I feel like an asshole because you are a really nice guy who like genuinely cares about the kids and genuinely wants to do well. And just things didn't go well for a couple of years.
He's still really weird. I think if you're Tom Crean, you have to understand that. You have to like understand at a certain point that I don't know. You have to be self-deprecating. You have to understand that there's stuff about you that people are just gonna make fun of.
But that's also like you can't. Not everyone can be John Harbaugh. There's some Jim Harbaughs. You know what I mean? Like that's kind of how you break it down. Where it's like if you can figure out that like, hey, I'm a little weird, or can you just you're just kind of gonna be a little weird and let the chips fall.
Is there someone that you made fun of all the time and then you found out they listened to the show or they came on the show? I mean, it was Crean the answer, I guess, like that, like I guess like if Rick Pitino replied to you guys and was like, love the show.
Yeah, I love Rick.
No, we're big Rick fans.
Well, know that I have a stalker.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I know,
okay, all right, good. So we love Rick.
We have always loved Rick.
Yeah, we've never said anything bad about Rick.
We've always loved Kwame Brown, too.
There was a time when I felt a little bad about the J.J. Watt because, like, I think he said to us, he was like, yeah, my grandmother, like would read all the comments on all my tweets. And I'd be like, okay, yeah, you know, that does humanize it a little bit, but you just gotta,
it's hard, man.
You gotta fight through it and just be like, I'm just gonna keep being an asshole.
Yeah, because you don't want to wake up and be like Wilbon, you know, where you're just like my close personal friend,
right?
Like, mm-hmm. Every single athlete, you got to make fun of some of these guys.
So. Sean McVay was another one too. Yeah. So Sean McVay met him at the combine, and he was like, "Hey, you guys certainly take a lot of shots about my facial hair. What's up with that?" And at that point, I was actually like, I need to go harder at his facial hair now because, like, Sean McVay should not care what me, the person with the world's worst facial hair, has to say about his beard all the time.
Right.
But I think we've done a good enough job where it's like there's like a camp of guys, probably a dozen guys who I would consider like friends. You know what I mean? And I'll defend them forever. And then the rest are just like we're friendly with them, but they know that like we still have to do a show.
Yeah.
Like, we still make fun of J.J. Watt. He's in that second category of, like, we're friendly with him. I would never say anything, like, overtly mean at this point, but I still will say, like, he can be very lame.
Yeah, yeah, and he has to, I think those are my favorite guys. Like, they might be lame, but I guess they understand you have to do a show, and they're like, I get it. I would make fun of me, too, whatever. Like, I feel like the college basketball version of that is Musselman. That he's like he just does memes and is kind of out of his mind in a lot of ways, and I guess if you like make jokes about him about that, he's like, yeah, man, love the show,
right? Yeah, like, you know, yeah, no, like he's a go with the flow. He understands
he understands the content game.
Taking yourself too seriously is a very good way to turn people off.
Right.
I've actually noticed this about Mus is recently he's been about, I think, 6 or 7 days behind on PMT.
Yeah.
Because he'll reply to like our podcast with like quotes from the podcast that came out like last Tuesday.
I can confirm that because
this would be a good test. So Mus, when you're hearing this, tweet this quote directly back at us so we can time this out.
That's actually a confirmed fact because Anthony, who his right hand man who I'm friends with, said like yesterday said like Mus loves the Dan Campbell interview. So I was like, okay, that makes sense.
Perfect.
Yeah. Like he loved it.
He's gonna be like, I love Titus on PMT. And that was fun. And then he's gonna like mention something from me coming on in March or something.
Yeah. Are you going to the Indy 500 this weekend?
I'm not. It's sad. I went every year for, God, I don't know how many, 20 years, something like that. I grew up going to the race. I transitioned from like sitting by the pits with my dad and watching them work on the cars and all that stuff. And then I reached a certain age and I wanted to go to the infield and do that scene. And I went every year. Obviously last year we didn't go, they didn't have fans. this year I was so excited to go back, and then they announced that there's no infield seating. And you have to, like, if you go to the race, my understanding is you have to sit in the stands. It's like 60% capacity and wear a mask. And it just wasn't worth it. That's not the race. That's not the race.
Can you explain it? I'm not going. Can you explain to us, because we're big F1 guys, can you explain like IndyCar racing to us in terms of F1?
Well, first of all, they go faster. So that's a little beta.
F1, you, guys, you mean?
No. IndyCar. So
but
that's
there are a lot of turns,
little...
twists and turns.
How many
in
kilometers,
IndyCars, right?
How many kilometers does the Indy go?
So it's a little lame to cheer to watch the slower cars, but I understand. The Indy five.
It's
the,
like watching all, college basketball instead of NBA.
Right.
I mean, you walked into that. You did. You
it probably right kind of is. It probably is, because if you're making the argument about Formula One, you'd be like, you know, the crowds are better. There's more of a culture
right.
there.
Right.
More
it,
of a,
it really
you know,
is.
It kind of is.
That's
it really is college basketball.
Yeah. Yes.
In that regard, I have no rebuttal. Go watch Formula One. It's better.
Sorry.
No. The hook for the Indy 500 is largest sporting venue in the world. IMS. You guys have been.
Yes.
You know this. You guys walked around.
We saved your brother's life.
It. Yeah, you said my brother. Where would my brother be if he couldn't crash in the
I think dead.
The Barstool RV.
Yes. Wait, so keep going. Indy 500. Yeah, it does suck that you're not going to be there.
Yeah, largest venue in the world. Largest single day, not this year, but under normal circumstances, largest single day crowd for a sporting event anywhere in the world. You will not find a sporting event where more people for one day go to one spot to watch a sporting event than the Indy 500. And beyond like the party scene, which is it's a party. There's no better party scene for sports. I know the Derby gets wild, but the Indy 500 is the Derby, but it's bigger. And also you can bring your own alcohol into the track, which you can't do at Churchill Downs. And then on top of all that, even beyond the party and the atmosphere and all that, the race is awesome because it really is like it's an engineering marvel that these guys are going this fast. The track is basically flat. So they're just like going into turns, going 230 miles an hour, and they have to like kind of brake and not hit each other in turn. And, it's wild. It's wild. So if did you guys go to the race? Did you actually go to the race? Or were you just kind of there for the scene?
No, we were there for the scene.
I left.
Posers.
Yeah.
Showed
up
to
the vodka interview with Fuzzy Zeller and left.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Did you see you got to see the cars go around, though? Like how fast they go?
What are they? Are they like their cars and they go fast? Huh, that's interesting.
It's really just a sporting event for 5-year olds.
No, I was going to say on the.
Wow.
I was going to say when you're there.
Car. Oh, my God.
My son would love it. Car.
Whoa.
Car.
That backfired. I was going to say when you're there and you watch the cars go, like you get an appreciation for how fast they're going because they, you know,
they're going fast. You've done a great job of selling this. Have you seen, by the way, there was a story, and I don't really understand the details of it, but your good friend Dan Dokich is working for DoorDash.
Yeah.
That's a wild story.
That's a wild story. I'm going to. Can we go back to the Taiwan thing? I'll talk about that.
Yeah, that was probably easier than getting
Oh, my God. I would love to hear Dokich's takes on the People's Republic of China.
Order a pizza or something.
He might show up. Let's talk about
Dokich,
it.
Yeah,
if you call into Dokich's show and ask him about Taiwan, he would like just Google Taiwan as you're asking the question. And then he would just like be skimming the Wikipedia page and just firing off takes with like the most confidence in the world. Of, like, here's my thoughts. That's
what... It's just damn common sense. It's a bigger country. You should own Taiwan.
My thing is this. If you're an island, you shouldn't belong. Like Hawaii, you should be your own country. If you're an
island. Oh, man. All right. Yeah. I had one last question for you. So the Ringer Union.
Damn it. I started. People don't know this. This is a true story. I don't know why I'm telling you this. I might get in trouble for it, but this is a true story. I actually started the Ringer Union and then left. And that was the plan all along, was that I was going to light a stick of dynamite, drop it in the Ringer, and then bounce and go to Fox and let everyone else deal with it. So I recruited everybody to join the union. I was going around with a clipboard and a sign up sheet. I walked into Bill's office and I had two pieces of paper. And one was the union where we had enough signatures to actually form a union. And the other was my resignation letter. And then I walked out
Take them
Kaiser
both.
Soze.
You're going to need both of them. I love it.
I have one last question. Are you Ohio State apologist, like through and through, like Urban Meyer, good guy?
Yeah, he did everything he could.
No.
He did everything he could.
That's another deal that you're trying to, like, Dan is trying to get me to get out that I'm not an Urban Meyer fan. I was never an Urban Meyer fan. I was a fan of Urban.
I was a fan of his results.
I was a fan of his results. Yeah, like I was definitely a hypocrite in that I was like, I will take all of the winning. But the guy, like, he was a mercenary, and I knew that. And like he was using Ohio State to – he was LeBron. Urban Meyer and LeBron were the same person that was like, I'm going to use this to get what I need out of it. I'm going to use the state of Ohio. And then once I get what I need, I'm gone, and that's that. And I saw through it. I'm a Jim Tressel guy. Tressel is the greatest.
Too. Big punk guy.
He is unbelievable. He's a guy that like genuinely cares and genuinely gets it. And so that's like Urban, or the way Urban handled things at Ohio State was like polar opposite. Just in talking to like people that dealt with, I knew people that played football at Ohio State. This is a true story. I know people that played for Urban Meyer at Ohio State that were starters for Ohio State, and Urban Meyer did not know their name. I swear to God,
they started
football games at Ohio State, and Urban Meyer did not know their name.
Yeesh. I mean, but that, like, yeah, I mean.
So once you hear that, you're like, I mean, I'm not going to like bend over backwards defending the guy and cheer for him. But at the same time, like, I do love that we kick everyone's ass. So I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to like protest and be like, I'm done with Ohio State football. Like, I'm going to watch.
It's really your Urban Meyer like fandom can be summed up if you ask like, hey, Mark Titus, at what cost would you have for a national title? And your cost would be like, you know, domestic violence and human beings being significantly hurt and emotionally, psychology, you know, all these things.
Tattoos,
all these things. That's your cost. Tattoos. Everyone's got a cost.
That was Tressel.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, in charge of a tattoo.
It's from the fucking tattoos. Tattoos.
Domestic abuse, tattoos, yeah. It's all the same.
Or like Russillo when he's like, I don't like Trump, but the tax breaks are pretty nice.
Hey, speaking of Ohio State football, the one thing I wanted to talk about before we get out of here, Dan, where walk me through the Justin Fields experience with the Bears now, because I feel like you're not as excited about this as you should be.
No, I'm more than excited.
Okay, because I get a sense from you that you're like, I don't want to be too excited because I've been down this road before. I got to be honest. Justin Fields is my favorite Ohio State player of all time. It was Braxton Miller. Justin Fields came along. I love everything about the guy. He is so easy to root for. I loved watching that guy play football. And I think I've reached a point where I'm going to be a Bears fan, cuz I don't really cheer for an NFL team. I watch all the NFL games, but I'm going to be a Bears fan because Justin Fields having success in the NFL is good for Ohio State, obviously. Like, let's the moment go. He's drafted, everyone says Ohio State can't produce good quarterbacks. But my question to you, Dan, is what happens, like, if Justin Fields is successful, is this more of a win for Ohio State or for the Chicago Bears' history of quarterbacks? You know what I mean?
Oh.
Like, who gets to be like,
yeah,
you I can't think make it's fun a, of our quarterbacks anymore?
I think we do like a press conference together.
We do a joint press
conference. Yeah, we're like, hey, everyone, like, when you bring up quarterbacks, Justin Fields is the only one you should bring up.
Exactly. Oh, it's Bears fans and then Ohio State fans, and the Ohio State fan has a free tattoo on his body.
Right, exactly, exactly. And the Bears fans has like a few broken fingers, and it's like, this is this quarterback, this quarterback, this Craig Krenzel. I am over the moon. The only thing that I'm tempering my expectations is I know that Matt Nagy is not going to start him week one, so I have to like – I want him to start right away. I want to jump right in. I want to do the thing. I don't want to watch Andy Dalton on Sunday Night Football. Nice guy. Seems like a nice guy. Nice family. He was on the, you know, we interviewed him. I really just want to start this era because I really do think he is special. And here's the thing. I'm at the point too that if it fails, it might just be done. I might be done.
Yeah.
With everything.
Well, that's my fear. So how does it fail? Like what I know the Bears aren't the greatest organization, but a lot of the problems with NFL commentary is that, like, as a guy who doesn't really get into the weeds and pay that much attention, is it just feels like it's all just sort of this, like, if you're not one of like four franchises that like actually knows what the hell you're doing, it feels like everyone just says LOL Browns, LOL Jets,
right?
LOL Bears. And you're like, okay, but like, what's the difference between the Jets and the Bears and the Lions and the Browns and the like, so what is the Bears situation? Like, how is this going to go? What should I be prepared for as I'm diving in, ready to cheer for Justin
Fields? The Bears are a cheap franchise in that they're like the Jets, those guys have money, right? Like, so their problem isn't that they don't have money and that they're not like trying to spend away their problems. They're just incompetent. The Bears, the McCaskies, like, that's all their money is tied up in the Bears because it's the family, like, you know, heir, right? Mm-hmm. So they weren't like a big businessman or businesswoman and then became the Bears owners. They have just been the Bears owners. So like an accountant runs the fucking team and they do shit where it's like, all right, well, we'll keep this coach, or, you know, we won't have as many scouts, or like, we won't upgrade this, our injuries, all these things. So they just want to basically sell 1985 memorabilia and be like, hey, every 5 to 10 years, the Bears will win a couple playoff games and be like, Bears are back.
Bears are back. Yeah.
And I fall into it. We all fall into it.
You do?
That's fine. Yeah. I can live with that.
Yeah. So that's
that.
How that's it's going to fail, and it will just fail and it will be epic. But I don't think it's going
to
fail.
Jay Cutler just said today, I wouldn't play Justin Fields to start. He said, I would let him watch. It's a tough spot, especially in Chicago. I think Andy Dalton is more than serviceable.
Yeah.
But I think, honestly,
more than serviceable.
Yeah, that's a glowing endorsement.
Huge.
More than serviceable.
Yeah, you have a guy on the bench that, like, the whole city's foaming at the mouth to see. And
more than serviceable.
Or the guy that's more than serviceable.
I do think that you have to say all of these things. I hope that the Bears are saying all these things and secretly, like, not meaning it. And they're just going to, you know, operate under the assumption that he will be starting week one. But you can't have him go into, like, his first offseason, or not even his first offseason, his first training camp, his first OTA, with the pressure being like, this is going to be the guy.
And the Bears are doing a thing. Like, so the perfect explanation is Ryan Pace has now had, so he traded for Mike Glenn, or signed Mike Glennon, drafted Mitch Trubisky, got Nick Foles, got Andy Dalton, got Justin Fields. He's had five quarterbacks. No GM gets five quarterbacks, right?
Yeah.
And
he's
had two head coaches. He's had five quarterbacks. And the Bears are like, well, let's let him just do this draft. So now he gets Justin Fields. So even if Justin Fields is good, then that means that Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy keep their jobs, which they're probably not very fit for their jobs.
Yeah,
so then the cycle continues like that.
I got you.
It's stupidity.
Okay. Well,
but welcome. We're glad to have you.
Yeah.
We're glad to have you. This will be fun.
It's gonna work. And if it doesn't, like you said, we're blaming it. I just want to get out ahead of it.
I'll just jump in front of a bus.
If Justin Fields in Chicago does not work out, it is the Bears' fault. Do not blame this on Ohio State quarterbacks. Put that one in the Bears. Don't blame Justin Fields. That's all I'm asking.
Or blame Georgia. That's an easy
one. Blame Georgia. Yes.
And Titus, you referred to LeBron and Urban Meyer's mercenaries.
Yeah.
Justin Fields died in the wool. Ohio State guy.
No. Justin Fields loved Ohio State. He and also so did Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow is also an Ohio State guy.
Yes. I mean, you could
that. We get Joe Burrow and we get Justin Fields. That's how it works. I love that. That's the future of college sports, though. Tate and I have thrown around an idea of doing an off-season show where we like decide who gets to claim which players of, because the more transfers that are happening, it's more the waters are muddy. But
I love doing that. I always have people just replying like Russell Wilson went to NC State.
And it's
like, okay, well, I'm claiming him. Yeah, we should do like a draft. You get to
do a draft.
Right.
Yeah.
It should be just by conference. Like who are these guys? Maybe like in 5 years when more transfers happen, we'll have enough where we can do a full-on draft and like who gets these people.
A reverse draft where colleges take players from the pros and claim them.
You're recruiting them back to your college for the legacy. Well, that's the matters in basketball, at least. Like I would love LeBron to do a recruitment where he like picks which school he would have gone to for real. And like, he has to stick with it instead of saying like, I was definitely going to Ohio State and Duke. And I mean, Kobe did the same thing where he would just say whatever school. I love that idea of you have to re-recruit the pros and get it back, and then now you can use them for recruiting purposes.
I also want you to know, you said something brilliant earlier here, and you could honestly make this a full-time podcast, is just whether or not like LeBron James or Urban Meyer is the bigger Ohio vampire. Like, which one of these is the bigger locust that just used our state and left?
Yeah.
That right there, that could fuel at least a month of First Take.
Yeah, well, people are going to throw me on there. They're going to be like, Titus, who you're not even from Ohio. You lived there for a little while. You made Ohio State basketball your brand, and then you moved to California. So
I mean, you said it.
I should look in the mirror.
Yeah, but you look in the mirror. Yeah, look in the mirror, and you see a hot dude. Like, that's just guys gassing each other up.
You guys look great, too, by the way.
Oh, thanks. It took us five times of complimenting you for you to finally reciprocate.
By the way, the sneaky last thing – my favorite thing that, like, I don't know why this started, but Stanford Steve and I think, oh, it's because of the wings. We were trying to get wings at a Final Four, like, 3 years ago. So it was me, Stanford Steve, and
Mark. It was one of those stories where everyone thinks they're right, and that's what makes it so funny. It's like none of us are backing down that you and Steve, it was like 1:30 a.m.
He has my back. Yeah.
And it was just like a difference of lifestyle.
I have no idea. I was in Hong Kong.
Yeah, he was in Hong Kong.
So, yeah, we're at the Final Four, and it's like 1 a.m., but it's very, very late. And it's late for us old dudes, and the scene is winding down. And you and Steve are talking about going to get wings tomorrow.
You made a date.
You made a date. You're like, at noon tomorrow, we're going to go to this place and get wings. And, like, you're like, I heard this place is the best wing place in Minnesota. And then you guys invited me. You're like, Titus, you want to go get wings at this place that has the best wings in Minneapolis? And seeing you two alphas – just like the stature that you I don't know, it was the most intimidating thing I've ever seen in my life, because I have never once in my life, quote unquote, gone to get wings. You just like
what?
Go to a restaurant and then you order wings while you're there.
No.
Or like, no. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I knew PFT.
Mark, tell me you're casual without telling me you're casual.
We were making plans. We were literally like, all right, see you tomorrow. Like, well, let's meet at this place tomorrow, so, wings.
I do that typically like once every 2 weeks. I make
so
a wing dinner.
It was
matter of fact, my last meal that I had at a restaurant before the pandemic closed everything down was on a wing lunch with your co-host Charlotte Wilder at Buffalo Wild Wings in Times Square. That was my last meal before they closed down the entire city.
I'm not anti-wing. I eat wings. I go to get wings. It was the like – The way it would go down with me and my friends, I'd say, hey, you want to grab lunch tomorrow? And then you're like, yeah, let's grab lunch. Let's figure it out. Then maybe the day of, you're like, what do you think? And you're like, I'm in the mood for wings. Let's go to B-Dub or let's go wherever. We don't say like the night before.
Yes.
All right. On my schedule, wings. We are going to get wings.
Yes.
And so that whole invitation intimidated the hell out of me. And then you and Steve have mocked me ever since.
You deserve to be mocked. I actually think we made that a week before, when it was like, usually Steve and I are like, hey, you going to this event? He's like, hey, you going to the Final Four? I'm like, yeah. He's like, all right, we got to get wings. Like, yeah.
You're talking about wings like it's Netflix and chill. We'll see what happens. Come over.
Yes.
Like, we're talking about wings like we have a gangbang scheduled for next weekend.
Yes. Yes.
Show up 7 o'clock sharp. No latex.
Yes. And I was not aware of this lifestyle. Is there anything else that you do that with? Is there any other food? Any, like, should I, like, I don't want this to happen.
Steaks?
Again.
Where
ice cream. You want to go get some ice cream next weekend?
Yeah,
I would say steaks. I'd be like, let's go get a steak tomorrow night.
Steaks. I don't know.
Yeah, you plan it out. But wings is definitely like, that's an event, because you also plan your whole day around it. Tom, got to sit in your hotel room with the AC on and maybe take a shit with your shirt off. Like, there's a whole thing.
I just want to make it clear so everyone listening doesn't get the wrong idea. Like, I will go get wings. I will put down a big plate of wings. I can hang with the fellas. I'm not John Rothstein where I asked Rothstein, like, what's your B-Dubs order? He's like, never. Or I don't.
Barcoastal. Carry style.
Yeah.
Change your life.
But anyway.
I asked Rusty one time, what do you get at B-Dubs? He's like, I've never been.
I'm not surprised.
I'm not like I can hang with the fellas. I'm one of the guys.
It's yeah, just sounds like it.
When you say you can put down
an
entire plate of wings, I imagine you're talking like 12.
Definitely boneless. Definitely.
No. The only reason I want to bring that up, though, and this is, I've never said this out loud to Mark, but for some reason, Steve, now every time he texts that thread from like 3 years ago, he always spells Mark's name with a C, and it cracks me up every time. Yeah. I don't know why. It's the dumbest thing ever, but it makes me laugh every time to just get your name wrong like that. And it's just, again, this is for no one at this point, but just saying out loud, Mark, I think it's very funny that he does that.
I've also done the it just reeks of desperation. I think you guys can smell it, which is why it doesn't work. But every so often I try to readjust the order of the group chat with the three of us, where instead of you guys ganging up on me, I try to get like Dan on my side to like gang up on Steve, or like
doesn't
Steve
work.
On my
doesn't
side.
Work. Because we're wing works. Bros. It started because of wings, and that's how it always be.
I know.
Mark with a K gets wings. Mark with a C, he's like, can we just do some wraps?
Yeah.
They have a buffalo chicken wrap?
Yeah, yeah. I smoke cigarettes. It's like, I skip meals, and I'm French.
Yeah, Mark with a C smokes cloves. You're like, no, you gotta try it. It's really it tastes really great. Listen, they're just like cigarettes. Look at you, just pounding that water.
All right. Glowing.
All right, this has been awesome.
Oh god,
we love you. And we hopefully will do a life part two.
I was gonna say, yeah,
in August. Congrats
on baby number two.
Thank you.
We got to do that. Let's do a life part two. I enjoyed doing that. I had a lot of notes.
We had an awesome idea, which I can just say we're gonna do it. But we're gonna do a draft analysis of ourselves. Both good and bad, like being brutally honest.
Upside,
which would be
downside,
great.
Strong side,
that'd be awesome.
Which would be very, very good. So we're going to do that. We promise people.
We got to do it in person, though.
Yes.
We got to come to New York.
We'll come home.
You guys come to Cali.
Yeah, we'll come to Cali.
Yeah, come to Cali.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
All right. Titus, have a great long weekend, and everyone enjoy the Indy 500. Cars going in circles.
Fast car. It's awesome.
Fast car.
Do they honk at each other?
I'm driving here. You got to throw your hand up like that. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, all right, dude.
See you, man.
We'll talk to you later.
Mark Titus is brought to you by MeUndies. Summer is here, which might mean leaving the great indoors for a dip in the great outdoors, whether that's a pool, an ocean, a fjord. What's a fjord? I feel like that's if you're
it's a Ford and Ferrari.
That's good
combination.
Yeah, Ford, that's a movie.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Okay, so if you're in a fjord, shout out our Swedish listeners. MeUndies might be known for making the softest undies and bralettes in the world, but now they make swimwear too. You can check out MeUndies' first ever swimwear. They've got bikinis, one pieces, two different lengths of swim trunks. Each piece comes in solid colors and limited edition prints, so you can mix and match a swim outfit to fit your mood. Every piece of the new swimwear collection comes in sizes extra small to 4XL. They're also eco-friendly, which means you can hang out in the ocean with swimwear that's good for the ocean. There are roughly 8 recycled plastic bottles in each pair of men's trunks. Each one piece in bikini is made from recycled nylon derived from factory scraps and old fishing nets, which helps keep our oceans looking beautiful. MeUndies has a great offer for our listeners. For any first-time purchasers, you get 15% off. You get free shipping. To get your 15% off your first order and free shipping, go to MeUndies.com/take. That's MeUndies.com/take.
All right, Fire Fest of the Week. Let's do it. Sending everyone off.
Jake, you want to start?
Long week. Oh!
Jake's not here. Mr. Vacation himself, Jake Marsh.
This is the OG crew. Just the four of us. Mm-hmm. Back when life was not complicated with our two sons.
Back when Liam used to sit on the radiator.
Yeah.
That's true. That was a scene.
For a long time. That sucked.
Remember when Howie Mandel came in and he's like, who's that guy sitting on the radiator?
And the worst part is, the whole time he was sitting on the radiator, he couldn't see any colors.
And I'm pretty sure I had a boot on like half the time too.
Yeah, well, that's your own fault. You got hit by a car.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that getting left off the Part of My Flakes box was like, that was the start of Jake Marsh's championship DVD?
Oh.
He's like,
good point.
He's like, I guess you could say I took that personally.
Yeah, big time. All right, so Jake, no Fire Fest? Okay.
My Fire Fest.
Do you know what you just did though?
What?
No, I'm not going to say it.
Jake's rent-free in Hank's head.
No.
Yeah, he
I
is.
I won't say No, that's not what I was going to say,
that's
though.
Some rent-free shit, though,
that's
Hank.
That's not what I was going to say.
We weren't thinking about
Jake.
Not
the S-word. Don't say the S-word.
What's the S-word?
Soft?
No.
Shame?
Yeah.
No.
You just vacation-shamed.
No, I forgot.
Yeah, you did.
I forgot he wasn't here.
Yeah, you did.
No, that's why.
You vacation-shamed Jake.
Never.
Not,
I
he's
would
on
never.
Vacation.
I would literally
and you just
never.
Shamed him.
That I would never.
Wow. I'm ain't no fun proponent. When the rabbit got the gun.
I'm the biggest vacation proponent person on this podcast.
You 100% vacation-shamed him.
Absolutely not. No, I'm looking at you guys. My peripherals are bad. I forgot he wasn't there.
Uh-huh. Vacation-shamer.
Anyway.
Welcome to the dark side, Hank.
Yeah, I feel terrible about myself.
My Fyre Fest of the Week, it is vacation coming up, big weekend, holiday weekend. I booked a haircut for yesterday. Mm. I showed up to the haircut. It's Fellow Barber, so it's like a chain. There's a bunch around New York. There was one in Brooklyn right next to where I used to live.
Yep.
And when I went to register online, it was, I guess it was like my saved place. So I thought I chose a place near me. I walked in. They're like, yeah, you have no appointment here. And I was like, is there anything available? They're like, no.
I just don't. It's the worst.
I don't have a haircut.
It's a hat weekend for you. Yeah, I've sent so many packages to the old office.
Yeah.
It sucks.
It's brutal.
Yes, because you just have it like saved in there.
And the feeling when they're just like, you know when you can, they're like, oh, what's the reservation? And then you say it and they're looking and you can just tell after a few seconds, you're like,
nope,
this isn't here.
Isn't there.
I do that about once a week with a food order where I accidentally send it to the office or to my apartment.
Yeah.
That's a bad feeling.
Wait, what'd you say?
I reserved it because the other place are like, oh, well, you reserved it like.
Wait, so do you.
You have to reserve your haircut.
You didn't get to. They didn't take walk-ins after that?
There was no one available. Like, you know.
Yeah.
All our barbers are booked for the next few
hours.
That's
why you go to Sport Clips, Hank, and they give you the text 15 minutes before.
Right. Yep.
And the legendary steam towel.
Right. Yep.
I'm going to take your man card for not going to Sport Clips.
I probably will this weekend.
I got a haircut.
I'm going to get a haircut in Scituate area, so.
I got a haircut today. Thanks for mentioning it, guys. And they should I just got trimmed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't want to go full blown. I think I'm actually going to become a every 2 week haircut guy. A mini Jeff D. Lowe.
Well, that's what Jeff does.
Yeah, he does every week, right?
Not always. It's like every fortnight, essentially.
Because what I realize is I can't be held accountable. Like, sometimes I'll go 9 weeks without a haircut, and then sometimes I'll go three, and I got to get on a pattern. But
the worst thing about my hair is Biz. Like, when I see Biz's hair, I'm like, it's kind of gross, but that's exactly how my hair grows. Yeah.
We should start a barbershop that's just not a barbershop. It's just the hot towel.
It's a TV series.
Yeah.
Profile guests.
But
if
you could just go in for a 10-minute quick hot Amazon. Here's a free idea instead of your fucking telephone booth jails. Do just a hot towel, 10-minute hot towel head massage.
I like where Hank's head's at.
That would actually be huge.
So we just get people to come in, like we turn one of these rooms here into almost like some sort of shop. And we just put a towel around their neck, and then we sit down. We get maybe musicians and actors just kind of going back and forth, but being real and, like, authentic with it.
Yeah.
And then we put that on HBO.
Real ass, well, loud, that.
Real
that.
Ass hell.
No, it'll be some loud ass hell.
Yeah.
That's the name of the show. Loud ass hell.
Good Fyre Fest, Hank.
Thank you.
I'm happy everything else is going well.
Everything else in my life is going
Check
great.
Out Stool Streams. Play Barstool app. It's been awesome. I'm going to play Cornhole next week. Bags.
You won 42 yet? Nothing yesterday.
Yeah, it was
most dominating performance ever in the history of Triple S.
Well, except for Jake's speed run that he did through the obstacle course.
Well, yeah. he's the perfect the game. Office.
Yeah.
But you know what? He's not here because we're going to shame him.
He's not even the best one here right now.
That's not right
true.
Now. That's true. Yeah.
I'm the best one here.
Shame his ass.
My Fyre Fest. Well, I guess the first Fyre Fest, since Hank didn't want to bring it up, but you can do a $250 play right now in Indiana, in the state of Indiana, on the Barstool Sportsbook. And if you win, what do you get? Do you get to go to the...
You get to go to the Indy 500 party.
You get to go to the Indy 500 party with Machine Gun Kelly and Diplo.
Yes.
So
should be great.
Hank didn't want to bring that up for whatever reason, so I guess I'll just
$10,000 bet you get a table.
Wow.
You're kind of a Machine Gun Kelly stan this past year.
His new album is really good.
Nice.
You can put Travis Barker on anything. Like, Travis Barker could be sitting behind Barney the Dinosaur.
It's true.
And I'd be like, got a DVR. That's
it.
He
is awesome.
My Fyre Fest is that I've got water damage in my apartment. So it rained last night. They've been doing construction upstairs for me. I walk out into my living room. I had like four framed posters, one framed New Zealand All Blacks jersey that just fell off the wall because the wall got soaked through.
Ugh.
Had big puddles on my floor.
Did they break?
Yeah, one of them broke. And so then I've got like cracks
and
on
you
my
were
ceiling.
Saying, you were telling me the other day that it was one of a kind. It was what, $40,000?
It was Bowden Barrett. Yeah.
$40,000.
It was an autographed Bowden Barrett New Zealand All Blacks.
It was $40,000.
It was $45,000. But I think right now it depreciated, so it's
$40,000. $40,000. Exactly. I hope your landlord has insurance.
Yeah, so we're going to have to work that out. But it was, it was so weird walking out into my living room and just seeing it looked like a war zone. And then I went up, I touched the wall, and the wall was just soaked, bonk, to my apartment.
Mm.
But it was just, I don't know what I'm going to do because they have to, like, take care of mold, I guess.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm not a.
Sounds like free rent.
Yeah, sounds like you got to stop paying rent.
Yeah, I should. I'll go on a one-man rent strike.
Yeah.
I like that. But yeah, that's just, it's something that I'm going to have to deal with in addition to my elevator not working. So
still,
oh, I forgot about New York's back, baby.
There's no way your elevator.
Oh yeah, it takes a long time to replace an elevator. Turns out, yeah, very long. So
I forgot about.
I got to walk up now. Fifth floor walk up. Just re-signed my lease. Pretty good. Feel
legs,
good about it.
Legs look good though.
Yeah, that was like it is good for 2020. The Cavs.
Yeah, it does feel like forever ago that your elevator needed to be fixed.
The elevator has been breaking for the last year and a half, but they've just now started to replace it. Like. A month and a half ago, 2 months ago, it turns out it takes like they have to go
what
to.
What if they said it's a 99% success rate
in the elevator? Great, I'll ride it every day. I'm sick of the stairs. And it turns out,
what if they say it's 85% success rate, but you only have to take one trip instead of two?
Okay, easy. I would just take the elevator up and then the stairs down.
Okay, perfect.
That's easy choice for me.
That's I would do the same.
Yeah, play the odds.
I would do the same.
But it turns out you have to take it. You have to remove the elevator through the roof.
Yeah.
It's like a K-cup.
Correct.
And a coffee machine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's tough. That's tough. My apartment is just it's going to shit right now.
That sucks. Well, my fireplace
I'm sure you have
is...
lots of space for as much as you pay.
In yeah, the city. I really do. I got a pretty decent pad.
That was such an awesome burn by that whoever made that meme, like Knicks fans going home after Trae Young dropped 40 on them, and it's just like a little closet.
Their $2,000 apartment.
It's like, yeah, that's kind of right.
100
yeah.
square feet.
I've upgraded. I'm working with like 700 square feet now. So
nice.
Maybe 800. It might be 800. I haven't walked it out, so we'll see.
All right, my Firefest is someone else's Firefest. It's Dick Vitale. So Dickie V had just the – I would actually say – and I know this is going to be people like that's hyperbole. I'd say it's the worst flight ever.
You also didn't mention Coney PFD.
So. Oh yeah,
oh
we
yeah,
got his ass.
We got him. Yeah, hey, round of applause for everybody out there.
Everyone... Well, I'm actually not going to applaud.
Yeah, you're pissed.
I'm
going to
take my hat off. Mad.
That should have been
in
your
mourning.
Firefest,
yeah,
Hank.
Yeah,
is that
yeah.
They caught your boy?
You're right, you're in mourning.
Your man Coney. So yeah, shout out coronavirus. Bad, tough day to be a Corona bro.
Way
turns out the virus killed Joseph Kony.
It was all worth
allegedly.
It. All this pandemic was worth it.
Yeah,
we got Kony.
If we got that one guy.
That was the only way to get it. But yeah, Dickie V had the worst flight ever. He his breakfast was bad on the flight. First class flight, Orlando to San Francisco. He said, I can't believe that today on our flight, flying first class from Orlando to San Francisco, that United has the nerve to serve for breakfast the most pathetic options I have ever seen. This is the first time in my life that I have ever complained, but this is a joke. Over 5 hour flight, and then he talked about like how they should just offer like whatever, like eggs, cereal, fruit, anything. And then when he got off the flight, he said that it was he sprinted to a concession stand because his stomach was churning because he was so hungry from the awful options. So shout out Dickie V.
It sounds like a nightmare, honestly.
Yeah, I feel pain anytime you can work in like I'm flying first class and the food sucks. Usually people will have a lot of pity for you.
Mm-hmm. Worst plane flights, TWA, Pan Am, Dickie V going cross-country from Florida to San Francisco.
I also think that's just a super old person thing. I feel like they don't ever serve food on cross-country flights anymore. Like back in the day, maybe.
Right.
But I feel like I haven't been on a flight from like California to New York or LA where they're like, here's a meal.
Basically, if they let you choose two of like the Cheez-Its, nuts, and like some kind of chewy bar, they let you say, hey, pick two, that's the best you'll ever get.
Yeah, and you can honestly just give me a Stroop waffle, and I'll be like, great meal.
Yeah.
Those things are just cracked. But how bad would a meal have to be in order for you to complain about it and say, like, it was unacceptable on Twitter? What do you think they tried?
I think it'd have to... I think it'd have to
medium instead of medium rare plus.
I think it'd have to, like, give me the black plague, like, instantly.
Yeah, you open it up, and there's just... baby spiders that crawl out of it.
Yeah. You know what the worst feeling is? When I realized a long time ago, but I get reminded of it every now and then, that I am fat and that I will eat anything. But when we were in West Virginia the last time for Rough and Rowdy, we went out to lunch with some of the guys who were doing the call, and it was like four or five of us all ordered a steak, and the other four people had one bite. And we're like, it's disgusting. And I looked up, and I had just finished the whole steak. And I was like, why aren't you guys going to, like, it's gross. It's the worst steak ever. I was like,
how can a steak be gross?
It was very bad. But I ate the whole thing.
Yeah, I would eat any steak.
But it was those moments when I realized, like, I am basically a garbage disposal, and I'll eat anything. It does hurt my feelings.
I just wonder what they tried to give our sweet prince, Dickie V. It must have been bad for him to complain.
Speaking of our sweet prince, five-year anniversary today.
I mentioned that at the top of the show. You weren't here for that.
Right.
That's going to be my first line.
R.I.P.
Now, this is – some people actually don't understand that we record sometimes parts of the show. Like, everyone – this is now we're getting here we go, the magic, how it's made. They're like, you called Josh Allen at 12:30 in the morning and he picked up? Like, nope. We recorded that at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So,
what do you think had a bigger impact on the growth of part of my
tape? That came after the beginning, which was recorded at
– Yes. How? 12:30. Yeah, it's crazy. We will sometimes record pieces of the show and put it all together. Like right now, we have no idea. Quick, Lakers Suns, who won?
Suns.
The Suns won, big time.
I think the Lakers won, but the Suns covered.
Okay.
And I think the Blazers killed the whoever they're playing, Nuggets.
Nope.
And
wrong.
Heat culture, back.
Wrong again.
Really? Well, I guess this is the best part of the show now because we'll find out at the beginning, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I have... Blazers, Lakers, Heat.
I have Bucks,
Suns
plus 7, Nuggets.
Okay. I got Lakers, Suns. I actually have a push in that game. And then I've got the Blazers and the Heat. The fans in Miami, they're going to be rocking. That arena is always big.
Oh, man. All right. We'll 50. See everyone Tuesday. Enjoy your long weekend. Have a nice cold.
Liam has Jake's fact.
Give me number 8.
Wait, Liam has Jake's fact.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Also, let's guess what Jake would have guessed for the number.
18.
18. He's okay. Always
the original kid ever.
Well, Hank, it's because of his religion.
Hank has been very chesty without Jake around. Hank, also, he's been walking around with big old balls.
Also getting, that was a joke. That's anti-Semitic, Hank.
That was a joke.
In today's culture, you're going after his religion?
No, I just wanted to pick a different number.
All right,
and he already won.
The oldest continuously daily published newspaper is the Boston Globe, which was founded in 1872.
Wow!
Whoa!
Very cool, Jake.
99. What was your pick, Liam?
50.
86.
There's five. Wait.
5-year anniversary. I should have picked it.
No, but also I think we've had every single digit.
Oh yeah, we had 1, 2, 3 still in there.
I mean, that's Harambe five. Right there. That's not a ping pong ball.
That's a gorilla ball.
Good thing I mentioned
right
at the start of the show.
Mm-hmm.
That's our sweet prince.
That is our sweet prince. R.I.P.
There's
Do
no
we
way
have a mashup for him.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
Big T, Big Tennessee.
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
Oh my
yes.
God.
Here without Harambe.
That's what got him
Coke
his job.
Freezies.
No, well, same
it's
kid.
What, it's what put
song.
Him on the map for us.
Oh,
right?
Oh God, yeah. I forgot that. Was
Well, it was Saturday for the Boys first, and then this song that you're about to hear. Was like one of the first songs that I made. I edited the video, put it on YouTube, and then another account like took it, posted it on their YouTube and their Facebook, and it got like a trillion views.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just our song that we got no credit for.
It's bad producing.
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need right. lawyers.
Love you guys.
He was such a good gorilla. He did not deserve the fate that he incurred. Shot straight through his gorilla heart. Why did our friend have to go and get murdered? R.I.P. in peace, my friend. The hit was ordered by the U.S. government. I'm here without Harambe, but he's still on my lonely mind. I think about Harambe, and I dream about him all the time. I'm here without Harambe, but he's still with me in my dreams. And tonight, it's Harambe and me, yeah. Everyone chose to ignore it. The mainstream media didn't give a shit.
The kid that fell through the gorilla, thank God that kid is safe.
But we have taken up for your cause. We know Hillary is who ordered the hit. Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm here without Harambe, but he's still on my lonely. I think about Harambe, and I dream about him all the time. I'm here without Harambe, but he's still with me in my dreams. And tonight, it's Harambe and me. Every time I cry, it's Harambe on my mind. It's still hard, but we know you're alright in heaven. And when the shot rang out, when they tried to take you down, they didn't know that you're forever in our hearts. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Dicks out for Harambe.
I'm here without Harambe, but he's still on my lonely mind. I think about Harambe, and I dream about him all the time. I'm here without Harambe, but he's still with me in my dreams. And tonight, it's Harambe.